Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we are broadcasting from Rohnert Park, where the air is very thick. I know it's really thick where you are in the Bay Area. Today, it almost feels like it's the worst day. Unfortunately, the fires are still raging. We've got 23 deaths confirmed so far. There's been a lot of confusion about missing persons reports. I just heard a report on the way here, and luckily, a large number of people who were on those missing reports have been found. The problem has to do with communication. A lot of people just can't find their relatives. There's been so much confusion. Now, though, officially, there are about over 400 people still on those missing persons reports. There are 22 fires still burning. More than 180,000 acres have been charred. 3,500 structures have been destroyed. 20,000 residents have been forced to evacuate. Last night, there were still evacuations, and I am in Petaluma with family. Last night, we got an order to pack. No mandatory evacuation, but we got an order to pack. And then this morning, we got the same order, just be ready to leave. So a lot of people are still on edge, really, including my family and me, not knowing if we're going to have to evacuate. Hopefully that won't happen. But there's been so much loss. Many parts of Santa Rosa, you just can't recognize it. So today we're going to get an update. We also know that so many people want to help. We're going to find out where the help is needed. And if you're in San Francisco or in the East Bay or in the South Bay, we'll talk about what's the most effective way to help. And then we'll also talk about the most vulnerable communities and how they've been affected. Joining me is Curtis Alexander. He's a reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle who's been covering the North Bay fires. Hi, Curtis. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great to have you. And joining me here at KRCB in Rohnert Park is Omar Medina. He's a community activist and volunteer with the North Bay Organizing Project. Hi, Omar. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me as well.
Omar, I just want to ask you, you live in Santa Rosa.
I do.
How's your family and friends?
So far, my family's good. Everybody in my family, you know, I had one cousin that had to evacuate. They came to stay with us. But so far, we haven't had to evacuate. I have had friends that have lost everything, lost their homes. A lot of people just, you know, scared, staying with family or friends. But, you know, right now, for us, it's just dealing with the air.
Right.
And on the edge of potentially having to evacuate as well.
Yeah.
I've got my bags packed as well.
We all have our bags packed. And also, we have a friend staying with us who lost everything. Just to let you all know, on Sunday night, that's when the evacuations happened. And some people got notices, others didn't. In the case of our family friend, police officers were driving down the road with a megaphone, screaming, "Get out now." He had time to grab his wallet and his cell phone. He got in his truck and he left. But I have been hearing people who got the call or heard about it in seconds. They had to run out with nothing on their feet.
Yeah, I heard a story of a colleague that they were like literally running from the fire. In the case of my cousin, so for us, we got a call around 2 something in the morning from the city, an automated call, woke us up. But I started looking on the internet. We weren't in an evacuation zone, but I realized my cousin was, and I called him, woke him up. He didn't know anything, got his family to pack up and come stay with us, and then we figured it out from there. Mm.
Curtis, you have been reporting on the fires. So many things are fluid. Things are changing. Where are, at this point, people who want solid information, where is the best place to go?
The best place probably to go is either the CAL FIRE websites. They have been monitoring all of these fires, both in Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties, to get information about the size of the fires and what areas might require mandatory evacuations, but also checking in with the Sheriff's Department, particularly in Sonoma County. They've been, that area, as you mentioned, was the hardest hit in these numerous fires, and they've been keeping tabs on where people are allowed to go, where the worst damage has been, and even what's needed to help some of these communities.
And so much of what we're facing depends on what the wind is doing. Sadly, a lot of these fires have not been contained. The highest number I've seen, Curtis, is 10%. What can you tell us about the status of these fires?
Yeah, 10% is not a lot of containment, and that's the figure that's been posted since yesterday for the Tubbs Fire, which is the fire that has burned mostly Sonoma County, but into Santa Rosa. The other fires are maybe 2-3% containment, which shows that the firefighters don't really have a great handle on these burns. And as the containment figures don't grow, the acreage levels are growing, which basically says these things are still wildly out of control. The reason, as you mentioned earlier, is these Diablo winds, which are winds that tend to hit the Bay Area and other parts of coastal California in September and October, blowing in from as far as Nevada's Great Basin. And they're hot winds coming, hot dry winds coming from the east, and they can really whip up these fires quickly. And as you mentioned, the flames moved incredibly fast, and it was very, very difficult for fire crews and emergency officials to even let people know that the fires were coming in, and that's why these areas were hit so hard, and that's why our casualty counts are so high.
Mm. And I'm really hoping with these missing persons reports we have now just over 400, but on the way in, I heard that about 400 who were on that list have since been found. The problem is there's just been a lot of confusion. Unfortunately, the cell connections are spotty. Some places don't have connections. People are starting to get some electricity back. But Curtis, the communication issues are still really difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I was up there the first part of the week and had to drive as far south as Petaluma just to get my email and my cell phone or a text message through. And folks up in the burn areas are dealing with the same thing, just no way to communicate with friends or loved ones. At the same time, several roads are closed, so people who might normally meet up at their house or at a friend's house or, you know, go to a Starbucks or something aren't able to get to where they normally are. So, you know, those routines have been broken, and it's hard for people to keep tabs on one another. So the number of people who are missing does not surprise me at this point, and we're just hoping that most of those people will be found safe.
The one thing that has been important that the sheriff has emphasized is that if you have reported someone missing and you found them since, to make sure to call the county hotline back to report that you found them. That way they aren't continually still looking for them, and they could focus their energy on people that are still missing.
You know, I just got, so I'm on this, I never heard of this service, but it's a great service, Nixle, N-I-X-L-E, and that's what everybody in the area is getting. And just to let all of you know in the Bay Area, what's happening is when you sign up for this, you put in your zip code and the sheriff's office or the police department sends you text immediately. I mean, it's been an amazing service. And just at 10:03, I got this update. 900 reports of missing people, 437 have been located safely, and we are working on the remaining 463. And this is from the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office.
The one thing about Nixle, it's definitely good. A lot of people have been using it. It's great information that's been going out. You could focus it by your zip code, but online you could also change it so you're monitoring the whole county. That's what I've been doing, and providing sharing information from that. The one thing that I have noticed is that some of the law enforcement agencies only put out the information in English. So the Sonoma Sheriff has been doing good providing bilingual, but I'm hoping that some of these other agencies, police departments, also put it out in Spanish, because there has been a need. That's, you know, there was an article in La Prensa this morning about the lack of Spanish information.
In fact, I was going to bring this up later in the show, but I just read this morning there's people are doing amazing work in trying to get information out. And at various shelters, bilingual speakers are needed.
Yeah, I've been in connection with a lot of my friends and organizers that are working on, they have lists of people that are willing and able to help. But the difficult part is coordinating where the need is, having to try to figure out where do you need bilingual helpers. Sometimes they'll send people there and they're like, oh, we don't need the help here. So there's no centralized source of information. You know, people have been sent to the American Red Cross and the Volunteer Center. But there's only certain hours that those are available, and sometimes they're hard to get through. So that's one of the problems with there's so many people willing to help, but getting them to the right place and having accurate information simply on where to take donations or where the help is actually needed is a problem that I think we have. I mean, I think it's a good problem to have, too much help, but we need to be doing a better job at assessing that information.
In about 10 minutes, we will be speaking with Sarah Sass, who's a volunteer helping coordinate all of this. So we'll get more information from her. But talking about problems in getting information to people, Sonoma County, Napa, Lake County, a lot of older people live here. A lot of elders live here. A lot of people do not have the internet. Even some people, my family, they have a computer, but they don't know how to use the internet. And Curtis, what are authorities doing to try to reach people who are not connected with a cell phone, you know, 24/7, who don't take this thing to bed with them to get updates?
Sure, and that's a very good point. One thing I also wanted to mention is this fire continues to be an ongoing emergency, and the needs are constantly changing. I mean, even as late as last night and this morning, they're evacuating new communities because the fire is turning in new directions. So where help might be needed at one point, 15 minutes later, it might be a different point where the resources are needed. It's not like the fire has come and gone, which happens in a lot of wildfires. You know where the damage is. You know where the resources are needed. In this case, it's constantly changing. And you also make the good point, Rose, that a lot of people don't register for services like Nixle, or they're not necessarily on the Facebook page of the sheriff's office or checking the incident page of CAL FIRE. And I think the majority of people are not, especially when their power's out or their cell towers aren't working. What the sheriff's office did and what firefighters did and are doing is trying to get into the communities that are threatened and have a physical presence there, knock on doors, let people know that the fire is encroaching and that they need to get out. Unfortunately, in many cases, they weren't able to get up there fast enough. As soon as they heard about the fire was overwhelming these communities. So that's been challenging as far as getting people out and also communicating the danger.
As you said, Curtis, the fire is an ongoing emergency, and there are reports of firefighters coming from San Bernardino, from Nevada. What is the priority at this point? The last couple days, the priority has been to try to let people know that they need to leave. Where are we today?
Yeah, at this point, that still remains the priority, saving lives, not necessarily property. It's been really hard, as I said earlier, for firefighters to get in front of these fires and put in a containment line, especially when you see winds able to blow flames across a six-lane freeway, as was the case on Sunday night, early Monday morning at Highway 101 north of Santa Rosa. So actually getting a fire line and stopping this fire is very, very difficult, but that's where they're at right now. They're trying to put containment lines in various places, but the fires have so many fingers and the perimeter is so great between, as you said, there's almost two dozen fires burning across Northern California right now, that it still has been a challenge to get in there and create a proper defense.
Curtis, before we let you go, Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency for Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties. What is the significance of this? And can you talk about relief efforts from the state level, and then what about the federal level?
Sure. The state of emergency means that it's going to be easier for those on the ground, the firefighters, the law enforcement officials, and the social service workers to get aid immediately. They won't be hung up in red tape. Certainly, they're doing their job right now, and both the governor, as you said, as well as the White House, have committed to give them what they need. It's going to be costly now, but I think the real costs and the real expense is going to come after the fire's out and each of these communities look at having to rebuild, and that's where it's going to be extra important that state and federal funding come down.
Well, Curtis, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your reporting.
Well, thank you for having me, and good luck up there.
Thank you. That is Curtis Alexander. He's a reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle who's been covering the North Bay fires. And joining me here in Rohnert Park at KRCB is Omar Medina. He'll be with us for the entire hour. Omar is a community activist and a volunteer with the North Bay Organizing Project. It's a grassroots multiracial and multi-issue organization comprised of over 20 labor, environmental, student, and community-based organizations here in Sonoma County. And if you have any questions or comments about what's happening, we'd love to hear from you. If you have family, if you're up here, if you've got friends here, if you want to help. I know that so many people, friends in San Francisco, the East Bay and the South Bay, have said, what can I do? We're going to bring on someone in about 10 minutes to let us know what's most effective. And you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Omar, I want to ask you about vulnerable communities. I'm looking at your website right now, and you've got information here about the importance of rent stabilization. And both sides of my family live in Santa Rosa, and I was shocked to read a couple months ago that Santa Rosa has seen some of the highest rent increases in the entire state. And now this is happening.
Yeah, with the North Bay Organizing Project started working on that issue at the end of 2014. You know, we went through a prolonged campaign, which culminated with Measure C this past June, which was defeated, trying to bring not only rent stabilization, but also just cause eviction policies to the city of Santa Rosa. The big issue is the housing crisis. There's been a lack of housing, which has really pushed the cost of rent up as more people from the Bay Area move up here that have greater incomes. And so that's just pushed the prices up, pushing out some of our lower income folks, pushing them away from the community here that they live in and that they work in, which is part of the issue that we've been tackling with North Bay Organizing Project. So now with these fires, you know, I think that issue is going to be exacerbated. We're wondering, you know, right now we've been so focused on what's happening with people being safe, but how is this going to impact the demographics of the community as all these areas, you know, it's been mainly affluent sections of Santa Rosa that have been burnt down. So how is that going to change the community? What's it going to do to rent prices? You know, the diversity of Santa Rosa is one thing that I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. Are the workers that work here going to be pushed out? These are big concerns. And, you know, people that rent now to find a new spot, do they have that first and last down payment to find a new spot, especially with undocumented folks that are probably, well, aren't going to be eligible for any type of FEMA assistance that might be out there? How are they going to start to rebuild? Those are some of the concerns that we're starting to have conversations about, but information really, there's so many needs right now that need to be addressed. Yeah. But these are some major concerns that we're going to have to maintain the integrity of what I see the beauty of our community is the diversity.
There are a lot of immigrants who live in the area, a lot of immigrants in Napa County. According to a lot of reports, the Sonoma Gazette actually had information on their website about how immigrants are safe to go to shelters, and here I just found the copy. Evacuation centers are not checking immigration status. They are open to welcome and keep all members of our community safe. Now, I have heard that some immigrants have fled to the coast because they were afraid to go to shelters. Is this true?
So I did see reports that people were camping out there in Bodega, which definitely it's been a concern. So yesterday I was on the phone with one of the public information officers from the county, really trying to make sure that everybody knows that the evacuation centers, they are safe spaces, that people should not be concerned about the documentation status. They should know, yes, they're going to ask them their name because it's just part of the protocol to manage all the different people that are there, but it's nothing to fear. You know, that information isn't going to be turned over to any immigration officials or anything like that. There has also been an expression of concern seeing people in military uniforms, so the National Guard. So, again, just we're trying to put out the information that, you know, they're the National Guard, they're there to help, nothing to worry about. But these are fears that exist in large part due to a lot of the rhetoric that we've been experiencing these past few months, you know, with the current administration. People are in fear. And so it's just a reality of our current situation. And so getting the information out there is tough, but we got to do our best. This is real. People are afraid. People, got to survive. And so they got to protect themselves. And that's what those fears are based out of.
Right. Well, I think it is important to repeat that information that immigrants are welcome at shelters. And of course, if you're an immigrant, undocumented, there's a lot to be afraid of, especially now under this administration. But for example, Elsie Allen in Santa Rosa is doing amazing work, and they actually put out a call saying, "You are welcome here. You have nothing to be afraid of at this shelter."
Yeah, there was definitely a few spots. You know, I saw Elsie Allen, I saw the Anna Lee, I saw the Kavanaugh Center in Petaluma. They were putting out information that, yes, they are safe spaces, but now the county's public information office is trying to put out that all the spaces are safe spaces, so that people can know. Because when you only put out just a few names, then the assumption is, well, the other ones aren't. So we got to make sure that everybody knows that all the spaces are safe.
Right. What else concerns you when it comes to vulnerable communities at this point?
I think the biggest concern for me right now is people being able to get the help afterwards and really having adequate information that's available, and figuring out who's going to be able to coordinate all that. There's going to be a huge need. I think right now we know how many people are maybe in an evacuation center, but we don't know how many people are staying with friends or staying with family. We don't know that data, and connecting to them. Like I said, you know, my cousin's down in San Jose, so they might not be here to receive specific information. So I think rebuilding the community and people coming back, and having adequate information and identifying adequate resources, those are all things that are going to be important. My biggest concern was one of the things that the sheriff mentioned in yesterday's press conference was that once evacuation orders are lifted and people are returning to their community, he mentioned they'll have like a funneled entrance location where they'll be checking people's IDs to make sure that you live in that area. So what if you don't have an ID? Yesterday, the Public Information Office indicated, well, you could bring a utility bill that has your name or address or your pink slip. But sometimes, you know, I know from family experience, sometimes people, they have those, but they're not under their name. So are they going to be able to get to their house? How do they prove that? How does the sheriff know where they live? You know, these are concerns that come up. And I think that there's going to need to be more information and a clarification of that process once those evacuation orders are lifted.
That is Omar Medina. He is a community activist and volunteer with the North Bay Organizing Project. It's a multiracial, multi-issue organization that works on a number of issues: rent control, racial justice, environmental justice. And again, it's so important to note that Santa Rosa has seen some of the highest rent increases in the state of California. I mean, I've been hearing of people who lost homes where their rents were still fairly low, given what other people are paying. Their mobile home parks have burned down. A lot of people, elderly people, have been taken out of homes. There's a vet center, one of the most important vet center in the state of California was in Santa Rosa, and people who had respiratory problems had to flee to hospitals, had to take patients out. I mean, there are parts of Santa Rosa that you just do not recognize at this point.
Two other things. I mean, there's definitely been businesses lost, which means people have probably lost their jobs. One of the things that concerns me right now, what I used to work at, I used to work at the county as an eligibility worker processing people's CalFresh benefits, Medi-Cal benefits. Recertifications come up. So if people aren't getting their mail, are they not recertifying their benefits? Are they losing their food stamps, for example? So those are concerns that I think people, the county needs to clarify information. How are they dealing with this stuff? Because, you know, if you're all of a sudden losing your food stamp benefits in the time of this because you don't have your mail to turn in the paperwork, you know, there just needs to be that information put out there. I know that I spoke with the county public information office this morning. They said they're working on establishing local assistance centers. That's something that will be coming. I hope that they also make sure that they have good, adequate information for vulnerable communities.
Well, we are here broadcasting from KRCB in Rohnert Park. The air is very thick. I've been in Petaluma for the last couple of days. I think this is the worst day. And when we come back, we'll continue speaking with Omar Medina of the North Bay Organizing Project. We'll also be joined by Sarah Sass, volunteer, helping coordinate donation efforts. And so if you have any questions at all about how you can get involved, now would be a good time to call. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
The deadly wildfires in Northern California have burned well over 150 square miles. Thousands of buildings are destroyed not far from the wineries of Napa and Sonoma counties. It's unprecedented, but not unexpected. Fighting fires and saving lives, next time on 1A.
1A coming up in just a half an hour at 11 o'clock, right after Your Call. Your call is better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience you want to contribute to today's conversation, you may call us at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Toll free, you can tweet us at Your Call Radio. You can also email us yourcall@klw.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are broadcasting from KRCB in Rohnert Park, where the air is very thick. Sadly, there are still evacuations happening. Last night there were evacuations in Geyserville, Healdsburg, and parts of Sonoma Valley. I'm up with my family in Petaluma, and we got an order to pack last night. Luckily, didn't get evacuated this morning. The order is still to pack. And then you just watch your phone, and that's how people are communicating, trying to get information from police departments, sheriff's departments. And we would love to take your calls if you have any questions or comments, if you want to know how you can get involved, if you have any stories to share. There's so much need, and we'll go over as much of that as we can, but things are changing very quickly. The fire is an ongoing emergency. There are still 22 fires raging. More than 180,000 acres of land have been destroyed. 3,500 structures have been destroyed. 23 deaths have been confirmed. 20,000 people have been forced to evacuate. And we're talking about this with Omar Medina, a community activist with the North Bay Organizing Project. And now I would like to welcome Sarah Sass to the show. Sarah is helping coordinate volunteer and donation efforts. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, you are all doing an amazing job. You've got a Google Doc with all of the updated information. Social media is amazing, but at the same time, people are posting shelter information of shelters that no longer exist. So, for example, Casa Grande needed nurses 4 days ago, but Casa Grande is not a shelter anymore. How are you getting the most up-to-date information?
We are getting the most up-to-date information by sending our own volunteers that are just citizens of Petaluma in the community. We are sending them to the sites, the current evacuation or donation sites. And the people that are running those sites are so busy trying to run their sites, and they are normal Parks and Rec employees, or they run the swim center. They are not skilled and trained to run evacuation centers. So they are doing an incredible job and excelling at that. So they are too busy to be contacting ourselves to be updating the Google document. So what we're doing is sending our own personal people out on site, and they are feeding us extremely up-to-date and 100% accurate information. And as you said, people have been sharing things on social media, but the downside to that is that they are sharing outdated information, and it's just so much information out there that we really need only the pertinent and up-to-date needs being shared with the community. So when we have somebody on site that is feeding us the information, they can also turn off that information and tell us when the needs have been met, so that within 1 or 2 minutes we can take the need off of the Google document so that the entire community can see that it is no longer needed.
This is a really important issue. A lot of friends in San Francisco, the East Bay, Marin, the South Bay, want to actually physically come up here with supplies. Some people say we don't need more cars on the roads. It's best if you can just give a financial donation, or maybe take the things you want to donate and drop it off, because there are a lot of drop-off points. What are you hearing about that issue, Sarah, especially, you know, should people be driving here from other parts of California?
I personally, my own very personal opinion and nothing as an official capacity, would tell people not to do that. I am ecstatic that they are generous and want to help out, but simply flooding our area with stuff is not beneficial right now. There are some centers that need these things, but the evacuation centers are getting flooded with things, and they don't have space for cots for people. And also, many of the evacuees that are here are hoping to get back to their homes. These evacuation areas that they are not allowed to get back into have, it's the fourth day now that they haven't been able to access their neighborhood. So they don't know if their home is there. They're hoping that their home is there. And some people have gotten confirmation that their home is definitely gone, but so many thousands of people are holding on to hope. So they don't want to accept a new wardrobe of clothes. They don't want to accept 2 weeks worth of food because they're hoping that they can get back home. And they also, quite frankly, don't have room to store it in their cars or on their person. They don't have room for all of these truckloads and truckloads of people, or of stuff, I'm sorry. And then on a side note, I really need to remind people, if they insist on driving into the area, to keep their gas tanks full and keep their go bags ready so that they can evacuate and not become part of the problem as well.
What would you add to that, Omar? There's just a lot of people in the Bay Area with big hearts who want to drive up here, but a lot of people are saying it's better just to give a financial contribution.
It really, honestly, is. Oh, sorry, Omar.
That's okay. Go ahead, Omar.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, I was at LC Allen yesterday, and one of the things that I saw there was a group of folks there. There were Teamsters that came in, and they were helping. They decided to bring in some of their trucks from some of the companies they work with because they were receiving so many donations they didn't have space there, so they brought in these trucks to start loading the stuff in there to have a storage space, but also if it needs to go somewhere else to take it, just because they were receiving so many donations. So I think that makes sense, you know, especially in the context of, you know, there isn't real clarity from the leadership in terms of organizing this whole situation with donations. So I think right now, well, the work that Sarah's doing here, I think that's great for all the people that are helping locally. But we also got to remember that there's going to be a need for a very long time. So if people are collecting things in other communities, maybe hold on to it right now, because maybe we have a lot right now, but we might start running low. So the need is going to be there. You know, people are going to be without a home for a very long time. You know, diapers, clothing, things like that are going to be needed. So there will be time later. So just for right now, while we're trying to handle the whole situation, hold on to it. And, you know, there will be a time and place.
Right. It seems like the people who live here should be doing the immediate work. Like LC Allen early this morning said, we need people right now. Well, if you live in the area, you can head over there. But the need will change this afternoon and then again this evening.
Yes.
Sarah, what else would you say to people in San Francisco, South Bay, the East Bay, who are listening right now, who want to help? What is the most effective thing they can do?
To build off what Omar was saying, I 100% agree and have received the same information on my end as well. And if people have already collected truckloads of things, hold on to them in your area, store them in your area. We don't have storage areas here. And also sort them at your area. Use your manpower in San Francisco, in Sacramento, wherever you have already done this generous deed. Sort them there. Sort out every single thing so that when you show up, you are ready to efficiently hand over your items to the places that need them, the specific needs. Also, the Redwood Credit Union is our local credit union here in the area, and they have shown time and time again that when there is a crisis, they do always give 100% of their donations, of the funds that they've received as donations to the needs. And they use it in a very efficient and effective way. So the Redwood Credit Union has been unbelievable. Also, the Petaluma Mothers Club, if you go to their website, I believe it's petalumamothersclub.org, they are doing a gift card drive, and you can electronically send gift cards. They're asking for $25 increments, and you can electronically send those to them, and they are printing them out and dispersing them as needed, and they are working on the best way to organize and get those into the community. But I know that they are printing those out every 24 hours, so they are instantly in the evacuee system.
Petaluma Mothers Club, we'll put a link on our website. Another way that you can help, and this is really important, Airbnb has a program now called Open Homes, and they're offering free rooms and homes to people who need them. And I have a friend in El Cerrito who offered her home. She was contacted by at least 20 people in dire need. She is now hosting a displaced Sonoma Fire family. So you can do that through Airbnb. If you don't want to go through Airbnb, Petaluma People's Services is arranging for emergency home shares. If you're willing to host an individual or a family for a couple of days, weeks, or even months, you can contact Petaluma People's Services. It's sharefire@petalumapeople.org. sharefire@petalumapeople.org. And even people up in Oregon are offering rooms and homes for people who've been displaced.
Yeah, I think the only clarification I would add to that, based on what I saw on the Airbnb site, they showed that the open home program that they have is from October 8th through October 30th. So, you know, maybe they'll expand it afterwards. But, yeah, if you have a home that you're willing to open, you can go there. Or if you have a need, you could go to that site. Just look up that. They have a specific one for the Northern California wildfires.
All right. And all of this information will also be at yourcallradio.org. Omar Medina is a community activist with the North Bay Organizing Project. And Sarah Sass is helping coordinate volunteer and donation efforts. They've got an amazing Google Doc, and it's updated constantly. We'll also put that at yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Lisa in San Francisco. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for holding.
Hi. I'm so glad that you mentioned about whether or not we should go or not. I'm an interpreter, and I understand there's a lot of need there, but I get conflicting reports about whether or not we should go. So if at any point in time using phone interpretation or video interpretation would be appropriate, would be this time as opposed to other times. I'd like to know if, you know, number whether where interpreters can call in and be utilized for the support that people need at the shelters. Also,
okay, and on that point, and I know you have, I know you have another question. Hold on just a sec, Lisa. I just want to get your comment about interpreters. Sarah, for people who live outside of the area who want to help interpret, how can they get involved?
They can continue to watch that Google document, and the best way you can access that is to go to the Facebook group. It's called Petaluma Proud. You go to the top pinned post, and it will have a link to the Google document. So we are trying to dispatch and organize people that are trying to offer their translating services, their autistic therapy services. We are doing our best right now to get this all streamlined so that we can use these very skilled, very important people. So maybe give us another, the rest of today to get this streamlined, but we are in contact with the shelters trying to let them know that this is available.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Lisa, you had one more comment.
Yes, I'd like to confirm. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I heard that about 40% of the firefighters that are fighting in the fires are actually people that are incarcerated, and they don't really get any certificate of firefighting when they leave incarceration, and they're only paid $2 a day for their work. And I just want to make a comment. I hope that all of California remembers their contribution, and in the future we would vote for more humane practices and against mass incarceration of people that are imprisoned. I'm just hoping that we remember that later.
Well, thank you. And there's also a lot of questions about whether prisons have been evacuated. I just heard again coming up to Roanoke Park that one of the prisons just got their natural gas back. That was a problem, and they weren't able to prepare food. Your question about the fires, Mother Jones has been doing a lot of investigations about this. A piece they had in 2015 headline, 30% of California's forest firefighters are prisoners. Just a couple days ago, NBC has a story about the 200 female inmates who are fighting fires in California from all races. The incarcerated women work $2 per day plus $1 per hour for time on the fire line. They actually have a video of some of these women's talking about their experience. Some of these women have been fighting firefighters for months.
Fighting fires for months.
And so this is a story that we will focus on a Friday show. Hopefully we're going to talk about media coverage. Actually, we are going to talk about media coverage of the fires tomorrow. So we'll bring more information about that then. Thank you so much for that, Lisa. That's a really important angle for this story. Omar?
On the question of the evacuations of the jails, you know, I believe it was the second day, because the Sonoma County Jail is real close to where the fire was. I was getting a lot of questions about that. The sheriff did put out a tweet saying that, no, they were not evacuating the jail. Seems like it was still safe. But for people that want to know about that, locally, both the North County and the main adult detention facility were not evacuated. They did evacuate the juvenile hall.
They did?
Yeah.
Do you know where they were taken?
I have no idea.
Okay. We'll try to get information about that. Sarah, I was also trying to get information yesterday from various groups that work with elders. Elsie Allen High has a lot of need for nurses, in-home support networks. They were asking for adult diapers, adult bibs. I mean, a lot of people who are there have disabilities. Can you talk about specifically how groups are organizing to help elders?
I really wish I had a better answer for you. That's exactly what we're doing. The citizens is trying to try to just organize these people that have specific skills that they're trying to help out. And there's really just like one number that the county's using, that if you're an RN or you have other medical training, that you can contact this number. And they're so inundated, they can't pick up the phone or really process all that information. So we're working on that the best we can to try to get these skilled people in where they need to be. Other than that, we're just trying to relay the message of who needs walkers, who needs wheelchairs, exactly when those needs have been met. But things such as diapers, adult diapers, and medical supplies, baby wipes, and latex gloves, those are going to be a huge need for weeks and months to come.
Yeah, my mom was at that Elsie Allen shelter helping yesterday morning, I think it was, no, the day before. But yeah, she said people need help just even being fed, eating, you know. I saw a list yesterday of the needs, you know, batteries for hearing aids, reading glasses, oxygen tanks. Those were on the list of needs for Elsie Allen. I think I saw there was about 200, you know, elderly and incapacitated folks that were at that shelter.
That is Omar Medina. He's a community activist with the North Bay Organizing Project, and Sarah Sass is helping coordinate volunteer and donation efforts. And today we're broadcasting from KRCB in Rohnert Park, which is between Santa Rosa and Petaluma. The air is very, very thick. The fire is an ongoing emergency. 22 fires are still raging. Last night, there were evacuation orders in parts of Sonoma Valley, Geyserville, and Healdsburg. Where I'm at with my mom in Petaluma, we got orders to pack, luckily not to evacuate, but the entire town of Petaluma right now has been told to get ready just in case. And again, so much of it just has to do with what the wind does. 180,000 acres have been charred. 3,500 structures have been destroyed. 20,000 residents have been forced to evacuate. I have family in Santa Rosa, and you can't even recognize parts of Santa Rosa. I mean, it's just devastating. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is really important information. So many people in the South Bay, East Bay, San Francisco, and Marin have been wanting to help, and that's been amazing. But what locals here say is that they don't need any more bodies or cars here. Let the locals do the work, because what is needed is fluid. In the morning, it'll be different from what's needed at night. So you might have a big van with all this stuff, but then they need volunteers to deal with the stuff. So it's better to make a financial contribution. As Sarah said, the Petaluma Mothers Club, it's petalumamothersclub.org, is taking contributions for gift cards. And then there's the Redwood Credit Union, which does an amazing job of dispersing money where it is needed most. Again, locals here say it's not a good idea to drive up here. They appreciate all of the help, and it has been really amazing. But there's just too many bodies up here. And with evacuations happening, the roads need to be cleared. Sarah, any final thoughts on how people can get involved? And actually, the final question is, you know, just like the holidays, people give money, but then in the summer, the food banks still need food. So things are going to be needed, as you said, for weeks and months to come. And maybe Omar's tip was good. Maybe hold back right now, but check in a month to find out what's needed. What are your thoughts on that, especially for people who live outside of the area?
I think that's exactly what we need. It's not going to be covered on the news all day, every day like it is now. It won't be fun and entertaining to talk about and up to date. Not that this is fun and entertaining, but it's clearly the water cooler talk for the communities around us. And I would even suggest put something in your calendar right now. Put it in your calendar for two Thursdays from now to remind yourself, oh, right, Sonoma County and Napa and surrounding areas are still in devastation. Now is the time that I should look up those phone numbers and look at those websites and see what they need today. I think it's just, you know, get it organized. Put an alert in your calendar, in your phone, that we still need you 1 week from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. We've lost schools. We've lost medical facilities. We are going to need help for a very, very long time. And we might lose even more resources. These fires are not contained and they're still unpredictable, and it might get even worse than it is right now.
Well, we will definitely continue doing shows on this because, as you said, national media is opening TV broadcast with this for maybe 3 minutes and then they move on. And so, but local media has been doing a really good job. And so we're definitely going to continue to follow this. Sarah, thank you for all of the coordinating you've been doing, and thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks. And please just have patience with us and keep an eye on that Google Doc at Petaluma Proud Facebook page.
Great. Thank you. And you've been doing great work. Sarah Sass is helping coordinate volunteers and donation efforts. I just want to reiterate this, and I will tomorrow and on Monday. A lot of locals here say, thank you for all of the help you want to give, but it's best to keep the roads as clear as possible. So we do not want bodies from other parts of the state coming here. You can make a financial donation, and we've got information on the website. We have just a couple minutes left, but I want to now welcome Matthias Gaffney, who is a reporter with the Mercury News. Matthias's article has been getting a lot of attention, called Governor Brown Vetoed 2016 Bill Aimed at Power Line and Wildfire Safety. Hi, Matthias. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Your article is getting a lot of attention. At this point, officials say they do not know what caused this fire. Can you tell us what you are hearing as a reporter with the Mercury News?
Yeah, so very early on, I started combing through fire dispatch audio, so the radio traffic in those first hours of when these multiple fires started. I was immediately, curious when I learned that these multiple fires and you know, pretty far away from each other, all started around the same time. That brings questions like, you know, could an arson, if it's a single arsonist, could they do that, you know, that quickly in so many different places, miles apart, and it's not like someone's with their lawnmower and it sparks. You know, it happened in very different areas all at once. And so I looked it up on listening to the audio and found that right at the same time, almost simultaneously as all these fires start breaking out, there's at least 10 different times when the fire department, this is just Sonoma County Fire, where they're dispatched out for a downed power line, arcing, or a blown transformer. And it's all in the areas of where we've seen all the devastation from the fires. And so, you know, there's nothing definitive that was the actual cause, but the fact that it started right at the same time that all these fires started brings up some very serious questions.
What are those serious questions?
Well, there's, responsibilities that power companies have to have keeping up maintenance, clearing vegetation from power lines, clearing dead trees, ensuring that the power poles are up to standard. There's a lot of stuff, PG&E in this case, to have the franchise, to be able to run electricity through your neighborhood, they are required to do it safely, and so to have that right. And so there's very general rules where they have to keep it safe. And so far, there has been no definitive cause named, but PG&E has told us that, it's highly speculative at this point to say that it was down to power lines and that it may have been maintenance that caused it. But they have acknowledged that they were, at that time that the fire started, that they had vegetation hitting their wires, causing issues. And they've also said that there was high winds, incredibly high winds. They called it a historic wind event that night, which is, in us talking to the experts, is somewhat debatable. But they also said that they're dealing with, this mortality crisis with trees across the state from the drought that we've were enduring for many years. And so that's also been a challenge for them. So they're kind of, saying that, this might be an act of God is what, reading between the lines, what they're saying.
You would report, just quickly, we're almost out of time, that SB 1463 was introduced last year by Senator John Morlatch, a Republican from Costa Mesa. This bill would have required California to identify the places most at risk for wildfires and would have required the CPUC to beef up plans to prevent fires sparked by power lines, including moving the lines underground if necessary. Governor Jerry Brown said the bill was unnecessary.
Yeah, this is Southern California. This state senator lives in a district where the Santa Ana winds are blowing, and, it creates this blowtorch effect when you get a fire down there. So they were acutely concerned about this issue. And basically the governor called it redundant. And, it's arguable whether it was. There's been a years-long process going on between the CPUC and CAL FIRE and a lot of the utilities working to map out areas that are more susceptible to electrical issues that could cause wildfires. So there's been a process going on. The senator would argue that it hasn't been going fast enough and that it's just stuck in the bureaucracy, and his bill would have moved it forward faster and more efficiently.
Well, we will definitely continue to follow this. And Matthias, we would love to have you back on a show in the near future to get updates. Thank you for joining us.
Yep.
That is Matthias Gaffney. He's a reporter with the Mercury News. We just wanted to bring him on because his story is getting a lot of attention. It's called Governor Brown Vetoed 2016 Bill Aimed at Power Line and Wildfire Safety. And Omar, we will definitely check in with you to find out what's needed and also what's going to happen with rebuilding efforts. There's so many questions about what's next.
And is it possible to share quick info on any event? Today between 12 and 6 at Ashley Furniture and Rona Park, 6001 Redwood Drive. They're hosting evacuees. Want to come, have a meal. You could go there. Red Lobster and Olive Garden are contributing food. Anybody could go there. And they're also hosting their parking lot, so if people want to stay there in their car, they can do that.
Great. Thank you. Omar Medina is a community activist with the North Bay Organizing Project. Thank you for coming in, Omar. We've been broadcasting from KRCB here in Rohnert Park, and we will continue to follow these devastating fires. Check yourcallradio.org for resources. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call, and thanks for joining us.